When it comes to coordinating public safety surveillance, the smartest option is now clearly IP. At least that has been the experience of Owen Key, the Chief Security Officer for the City of Calgary, Canada. He should know. 7 years ago, when he first joined the city, Calgary had dozens of separate video surveillance systems keeping watch on everything from swimming pools and city buildings to river levels and roadways. Now over 700 of the city's older analog and newer IP cameras are all coordinated under one centralized IP-based network. In this installment of the Smart Plus Connected Communities Institute podcast learning series, I speak with Key about how Calgary has used IP networking to create one of the world's largest and most sophisticated metropolitan surveillance systems. Oh, and please set the scene for us. What prompted you to turn to IP-based video surveillance technology for Calgary?
Well, I've been with the city for about 6-7 years, and when I first came on, the city of Calgary had a very wide area of video. Most of the deployment, most of the sites were standalone sites using traditional analog cameras and digital video recorders on a standalone basis with no real central monitoring. Just to set the stage, the city has approximately 30 some different business departments ranging in everything from our roads, our transit, our recreation facilities such as arenas and leisure centres and swimming pools and golf courses. So a very wide variety of business units and services provided. And with that came some challenges in terms of securing those. There is over some 700 individual sites within the city of Calgary. And as a result, we had to utilize the existing infrastructure that we had, that we inherited basically on a site-by-site basis. At that stage, we had just moved into using Linel on Guard as our enterprise access control system. So we were somewhat familiar with utilizing IP-based networks for security systems. Excuse me. Sorry. And we realized that we probably had to move towards using if we wanted an enterprise system of CCTV and cameras, that we would have to utilize the same backbone.
Okay, great. So tell me a bit about the challenges that you faced. What prompted, again, the move to IP-based video as opposed to just continuing to use the existing types of technologies that you had out there?
Well, just to clarify, we still, the majority of our cameras, and we have over 650, 700 cameras deployed at a huge number of sites, a couple of hundred sites, are predominantly still analog cameras, but we do utilize encoders with the Indigo Vision product to put it onto the network as an IP-based. To be perfectly honest, it was, you could see the writing was on the wall in terms of using traditional methodologies of bringing back video. And if we wanted remote sites, as I said, that are dispersed all around the city, the only way we were going to be able to do that is to utilize an IP network.
Well, tell us a bit more about that. Why is that the only way to do it? Obviously, people have been running closed circuit cameras for a long time. What makes IP networks so viable for surveillance camera work?
It allows us to utilize a centralized monitoring area, where in our case we actually have three separate monitoring areas, a main control center and then two redundant sites. The only way that you could do that is by using a distributed IP network to be able to bring those cameras back to one particular location, or have multiple people view at multiple locations. So the more eyes out there, the better. To be honest, it was the most efficient. It was utilizing existing networks that the city owned and operated. Although we offer everything from fiber to wireless to traditional T1 lines to do it. So, there are some challenges with that.
Well, tell me a bit about where you stand now in terms of the number of IP cameras that you have versus analog or the other legacy cameras.
We still have a number of cameras that are standalone systems that are analog, you know, traditionally coax back to a DVR and monitored locally, and they're predominantly still at some of our swimming pools. But we would probably have 10 or 15 of those deployed around the city. We have over 700 devices on our network now, ranging from you know, our operations work centres, some leisure centres. We monitor river levels. We have critical infrastructure such as water and wastewater treatment plants. What I'm not counting in that number is our transit cameras, which are also IP-based, that are roughly about the same number, and they're run separately, although with the new OMVIC standards, we are looking at bringing them and cross-talking between each other so that we have full redundancy.
Well, tell me a bit about Calgary. It's a very large city, but according to the information I have, it's unusual in that the municipality runs most of the cameras for all the different functions in the city. Tell me a bit about that situation and how that made your work with public safety more challenging.
Calgary, just to, some background, Calgary is about a million two in terms of size. It's actually the same size as the city of New York. So, you know, it's geographically spread, although the population isn't that great. It's been fortunate because the city actually has grown as one municipality. It hasn't been a conglomerate of a number of different other municipalities. So hence, we've had the ability to deploy systems using one IT department to, you know, one business unit that basically runs, you know, say our roading system or our water treatment or our wastewater treatment, et cetera, too. So for that part, you know, we've actually had some advantages over some other municipalities. Now, we do run cameras primarily on our city-owned sites, but over the last 2 years, we've run a public safety network of cameras comprising of 16 to 18 cameras downtown in the Central Business District, and that was run, based on a pilot project to see if it would be successful. That's primarily a wireless solution that comes back to it. We run it on behalf of police and animal and bylaw services so that our law enforcement have access to those cameras. Our emergency operations center has access to those cameras. And it's worked very well. I would envision the next stage of the pilot, basically, or the next stage of the full system, is to start bringing in private partnerships with some of the other downtown core businesses and property owners so that we can utilize their cameras for a public safety component.
Tell me a bit about the different connection methods that you use. You alluded to the fact that you have a whole mix of physical connections, whether it's coax or T1 lines, wireless. I've even seen some commentary here about using 3G mobile networks. Tell me a bit about how those work and what your experience has been in terms of being able to use this heterogeneous mix of connectivity methods.
Well, and that's one of the advantages of using a TCP/IP based system. You know, we in an ideal world, we would have fiber running everywhere, and we would have, you know, FORSIF 30 frames per second resolution, you know, high definition resolution on all our cameras. Unfortunately, with a geographical spread of all of our facilities, that's just not possible. So, you know, where possible, we do use fiber, but and the city, in conjunction with its power operator, does lay fiber all around the city on a regular basis. But having said that, for me, as long as I get a signal back that is of a reasonable quality, I really don't care about the methodology that it comes back. But it has had its challenges. We've had to utilize everything from, you know, traditional 802.11 protocols for wireless, 3G wireless. We have three mobile trailer units with a camera that sticks up 30 feet in the air and has four cameras on them. You know, we have utilized fiber. We have utilized T1 lines. Whatever's available for us to be able to do it. To that end, our IT department's been outstanding in terms of you know, helping us get through those. The Indigo Vision product that we utilize at the moment, the encoders have the ability of throttling back multiple streams to various bit rates, et cetera, too. So that's been a large advantage for us, too, is to be able to set bandwidth structures and for both recording and transmission or receiving.
Interesting. Owen, tell me a bit about managing all of that video output, particularly, again, with a system and a city of your size. You're dealing with hundreds of thousands of hours of video footage, I would think. Tell me a bit about how you manage that. I've also read that you do data warehousing and you've created a specialized Oracle-based application to manage some of this. Walk us through about that challenge. There's the one challenge of capturing the video, but these days people are realizing, I think, that the real challenge is managing that and being able to access the information you want from those hundreds of thousands of hours of video footage. What's been your approach to that?
I think you've got to look at two things. One, you've got to look at managing live video. And when you've got some 650, 700 cameras plus, and you know, we estimate a lot more than that in the future, it's just not physically possible with the staff and the resources we've got to monitor each one of those sites and each one of those cameras. So we have some critical infrastructure sites that we do monitor, you know, more closely than others, but we do utilize motion analytics and alarm points. We have that integrated with some of our access control alarm points, you know, primary presets and stuff that basically, you know, helps us manage the live video. You know, and our alarm monitoring is very important. In terms of the recorded video, we have used a distributed network so that the recording is actually on the edge. It means that those NVRs that we have deployed are in the physical locations, which means that we can actually record directly to those, say, at a remote site at a higher frame rate, high resolution, view on a lower frame rate, lower resolution, coming back over those smaller pipes. That's enabled us to manage a distributed network that we can actually, you know, have some redundancy. If we lose some of ours, we're not going to lose all of it. We're certainly not going to lose our video. In terms of actually managing the video, yes, we are looking at some newer analytics at the moment to be able to speed up that process. We do use an Oracle database in the back. What it enables us to do is log any movements, any activity on the video, and go through and look at our performance from a network perspective, from a video perspective, usage perspective as well. The city has a data warehouse that it's set up basically for all of its business units, and the ultimate aim is for us to be able to utilize, say, event counting on a camera, and match that up with, say, a swimming pool's usage. So, for example, if you've got a camera on a door on a main entrance to a swimming pool, and you've got event counting, you know, put onto that camera, so that it's monitoring flow, traffic flow in and out, can you match that up with the point of sale information from that particular swimming pool, so that the business units have, you know, further data to correlate together and say, you know what, you know, we're not matching the traffic flow with our revenues. So there's all sorts of possibilities that open up once you start warehousing that information.
Okay. Thank you for that. Tell me a bit about, you've married the video system with an interactive map. Tell me a bit about how you did that and what the key benefits are in terms of managing the video and improving public safety.
Okay, so we haven't actually moved on. We're just starting to look at piloting some project. Right now we do use interactive maps with Indigo, but they are flat maps. They're basic floor plans or diagrams with interactive icons on those with the video coming through. The next stage is to move away from, you know, having a large video wall and moving in towards almost a situational awareness of a 3D environment. So very similar to a Google Earth, where you can delve in down onto a street view and start moving yourself around. Now that's possible by bringing in various alarm points, alarm sources onto an ESRI type ArcGIS type mapping environment. The city is lucky in that it has one of the most outstanding North American GIS departments and has already started 3D mapping most of the city. Now, there's a lot of information that has to go into that, obviously, and that doesn't include floor plans. But it enables us to bring our systems, not just in CCTV, but our access control systems, in an interactive way so that our operators can use situational awareness to say, well, I'm in this particular building, I can move around, I know where the fire alarm is, we can do simulations, we can do tabletops. So it's a large-scale project as we go forward, one I'm quite excited about, but it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort to go forward on.
Okay, sounds great. Well, overall, now that the system is in place and deployed, what have been some of the biggest benefits you've found from IP-based camera technology?
I think the ability to expand the system, you know, fairly easily and fairly quickly. Obviously there are still traditional methods of installing a camera and home running some of the conduit and the wire back to an NVR or to a switch, etc. But for us to be able to add further cameras onto the system, you know, and further sites very easily and very efficiently. Also the ability to manage that video at a centralized location, but have, you know, other areas looking at it, you know, other business units. So we've taken a approach that, you know, the more eyes that are watching us, the better in terms of our staff. So for that, it's been an outstanding endeavor for us, and it just does allow us to bring a lot of our systems together.
Okay. Well, what about in terms of tangible results in improving public safety? Do you have some data on that? Has there been a clear before and after improvement in that regard, or has it really been a question of reducing or improving operations and reducing costs? Has it been more of a money issue or more of a public safety improvement issue for Calgary?
I think a combination of all three, and I don't need to be vague on that, but in terms of our public safety, we were lucky. It was part of an overarching plan for the downtown core. Cameras are just one aspect of that plan. So we have a Centre City Impact Safety team that made up of various city departments, including police and bylaw, and our roads and EMS, etc. too. And they work very hand in hand together. So the cameras were one tool for that. I wouldn't call them the be all and end all. We've never sold cameras as being a preventative tool, more as a resource driving tool and a investigative tool. So for that, we've had some very good results. If I wanted to take an example, I'd look at the municipal complex here that we have cameras on the outside of it, and we've reduced our incident, not just with the cameras, but other initiatives by about 82%, which is a phenomenal drop for us. So there are certain sites that we've had, very good successes. We've had parks that have had, $150,000 worth of graffiti over an annual basis, where we've put a $30,000 camera system in and dropped our graffiti down to almost nothing. So those are easy ones for us to be able to trumpet.
Okay, yeah, that sounds highly effective. What would you say are some of the biggest challenges of deploying an IP-based camera system? And in general, are these challenges more technological or logistical or political? What are the biggest factors in having a successful deployment?
We work in a big P and a little P political environment. So for that, we are subjected to public money and resource challenges. So would I like to go, hell for leather and put a number of cameras in places? Sure, I would, but I don't have the resources and the money to do that all the time. We didn't approach this as a one large scale project, worth $6-10 million or whatever the cost is. This was a piecemeal project, on a case-by-case basis. Logistics-wise, we've been very fortunate, and I know a number of other companies and corporations haven't had this, but we've been very fortunate that our IT department were on board with this very early. We're very receptive to us placing cameras and video onto a network, particularly when they saw some of the benefits of the particular system that we use, which is activity control frame rate, where we could pare the bandwidth down, because their main concern was that it was going to impact on normal operations. So those would be some of the challenges that we've had logistic-wise, sometimes it's a bit of a challenge to put wireless solutions into it. I've been fortunate that we have a very technical group or those that are willing to become technical with my security advisors that have learnt and applied themselves to these over the last 4 or 5 years. So I'm confident now when I ask my troops to go and do a camera installation or a project that I know that the job's going to get done fairly well and we're going to get good results out of it.
Okay. Well, given the success you've had and the benefits you've received from the IP camera systems, are you planning to deploy more cameras or expand the system in other ways besides what we've previously discussed?
I believe that we're probably going to end up having close to, between us and our transit department, we'll probably end up having close to 2,000 cameras deployed, give or take. So, yes, we are looking at an expansion. We are looking down the track at using more IP-based or megapixel-type cameras. So we're going through a rigorous testing phase on those to make sure that they do work in our conditions. Calgary's fortunate or unfortunate that it has some very varied weather conditions, and we can have some very high temperature fluctuations, between plus 10 Celsius to minus 30 Celsius within the space of 24 hours. So any equipment that we place on the outside really has to be quite robust and deal with those types of environmental factors.
For sure. And speaking of that, how have you... Obviously, you have a lot of faith in IP-based camera technology, but how do you feel it stacks up these days against traditional analog technology, the more mature technology that's out there, in terms of key issues such as durability or cost per unit or general management costs, those sorts of things? Where is IP camera technology now in your mind?
I think it's getting there. I mean, we're still predominantly analog, as I said, with IP encoders to place it on the network, and we use we use one or two varying brands, and we've been extremely successful with those brands of cameras, very robust on the outside and with a very, very low failure rate. Likewise with our encoders, we have a very low failure rate on our encoders and our NVRs too. So, to date, I think we've still got a bit of work to do in terms of, going towards purely IP or purely megapixel cameras. Time will tell with our transit deployments, which are strictly IP-based and megapixel cameras. And I think that'll be the proof is that they survive. So far, so good. So time will tell.
Well, what do you feel, comparing to analog cameras, what are the key issues that the jury's still out on with IP-based cameras? What are your biggest concerns about the technology at this point?
I think traditionally it was the use of low light, use of varying temperatures, the durability. I think most of those have been overcome. As I said, we're just embarking now on looking at purely IP and megapixel cameras for deployment, particularly on the outside. I believe that they've matured enough for interior use, for exterior use, so I'll reserve judgment until we've done some testing on it.
Okay. Given all that you've been through with the very large deployment in Calgary, what would be two or three key pieces of advice you would offer other cities that are looking into using IP-based video surveillance technology?
I think the most important is getting your IT guys on site. So I know that's not as easy as it sounds. We were fortunate, as I said, to have a very accepting IT department that was willing to work with us and be innovative with those. I think if you're looking at deployment, your security advisors or your security professionals really need to know their technical specs and know their technical knowledge of the impacts on a network. Make sure that those cameras are suitable for the deployment. One size doesn't fit all. But to be able to discuss those with their IT department and push a project through is vital. To be honest, it's probably more vital than actually getting the money in the first place.
Okay. What would be some other pieces of advice beyond technology. I've read a lot and heard a lot of commentary about the challenges related to privacy or other policy issues, as well as just manpower issues in terms of being able to monitor these systems and those sorts of things, where obviously the cameras aren't a panacea. But what have been some of the soft issues that you've run into in trying to use IP-based camera systems?
I can certainly speak to the privacy issues. Canada is probably more of has more impact with their privacy commissioner than, say, the United States does. Consequently, you know, we, as a government agency, we are covered by legislation, particularly here in Alberta, you know, in terms of the privacy impact. So, you know, we've had to go through a rigorous process of doing privacy impact assessments, making sure we have signage up, making sure that we have tight controls on who views the video, how it's exported. You know, the last thing I need is any of our video ending up on YouTube. So we have some very, very, very tight controls on that. We have tight controls on how it's exported, the documentary. The biggest thing is making sure that you ask and that you seek advice. There is lots of other professionals out there, you know, and I'd rather not reinvent the wheel. I'd rather go out and actually, you know, learn from other professionals out there, and that's how I've approached it with it, and fortuitously there's been a lot of individuals out there that have been very willing to teach, you know, and I'm trying to pass that on to others, so, you know, seek help.
Okay. Any final bit of advice you could offer cities or urban planners who are looking at surveillance technology? What would be your final bit of shopping advice for them?
As I said, you know, from a public safety perspective, they aren't the panacea, they aren't the be-all and end-all, they are but one tool in an arsenal of tools that you really need to deploy. And if that's increased surveillance, if that's public-private partnerships with other security firms, if it's law enforcement and regular meetings, if it's, you know, all working together, I think that's the most important thing. So the cameras, yes, they are a valuable tool, you know, but that's all they are, is a tool. So I think it's important that they be looked at, and that they aren't the silver bullet at the end of the day.
That was Owen Key, the Chief Security Officer for the City of Calgary, Canada. This has been another installment of the Smart Plus Connected Communities Institute podcast learning series. For more insights on sustainable urban planning and development, please go to www.smartconnectedcommunities.org. Remember, be smart, be connected. Thanks for listening.